gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. This little light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine. Well, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine.
Welcome to the Interactive Church Wednesday Midday Testimony Meeting, a Christian Science teleconference hosted by csdirectory.com. We're so happy that you have taken an hour out of your day to participate in this spiritual oasis. For those with a computer nearby, the website address of Interactive Church is csinteractivechurch.org. There you will find a turquoise box containing a link to the Order of Service webpage where links to the text of hymns and other information is provided. During the meeting, we will mute everyone's phone. Muting your phone helps to eliminate background noises, enabling everyone to better hear the service. Later in the meeting, if you would like to share a testimony, simply press star 2, and your phone will be unmuted. The reading portion of this meeting is recorded so that people around the world may have an opportunity to listen to the readings at their convenience. Let us begin our service with hymn number 197. A link to the words of this hymn is provided on the Order of Service webpage. I will read all of the verses. Now sweeping down the years untold, the day of truth is breaking. And sweet and fair the leaves unfold of love's immortal waking. For flower and fruitage now are seen, where blight and mildew rested. Christ today to us has been by word and deed attested. His living presence we have felt, the Word made flesh among us, and hearts of stone before Him melt, His peace is brooding o'er us. Hymn number 197. Welcome to Interactive Church. The topic of the readings for this meeting is Light Removes Darkness Instantaneously. I shall be reading selected passages from the King James Bible and Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. Bible, Job. Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. Oh, that thou wouldst hide me in the grave, that thou wouldst keep me secret until thy wrath is past. For I am full of matter, the spirit within me constraineth me. But the Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. Surely thou hast spoken in mine hearing, and I have heard the voice of thy words, saying, I am clean without transgression. I am innocent. Neither is there iniquity in me. 2 Corinthians. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Psalms. For thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God, therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. Mark. Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. And there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace, and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house, and straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four, and when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And I say unto thee, arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Luke. And he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever. And they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose. And he said unto them, let your loins be girded about and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him, and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and glorified God. John. Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. Acts. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. And Peter said, Such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And the multitudes rose up together against them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. Romans. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, be not conformed to this world, continuing instant in prayer. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. 2 Timothy. This know also, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Matthew. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. Revelation. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. I shall now read correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health, with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. Revelation 12, 10 through 12. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. A louder song, sweeter than has ever before reached high heaven, now rises clearer and nearer to the great heart of Christ. For the accuser is not there, and love sends forth her primal and everlasting strain. He that touches the hem of Christ's robe and masters his mortal beliefs, animality and hate, rejoices in the proof of healing in a sweet and certain sense that God is love. Christianity, as Jesus taught it, was not a creed, nor a system of ceremonies, nor a special gift from a ritualistic Jehovah. But it was the demonstration of divine love, casting out error and healing the sick, not merely in the name of Christ or truth, but in demonstration of truth, as must be the case in the cycles of divine light. The rays of infinite truth, when gathered into the focus of ideas, bring light instantaneously, whereas a thousand years of human doctrines, hypotheses, and vague conjectures emit no such effulgence. The physical healing of Christian Science results now, as in Jesus' time, from the operation of divine principle before which sin and disease lose their reality in human consciousness and disappear as naturally and as necessarily as darkness gives place to light and sin to reformation. Now, as then, these mighty works are not supernatural, but supremely natural. Now, cried the apostle, is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Meaning not that now men must prepare for a future world salvation or safety, but that now is the time in which to experience that salvation in spirit and in life. Now is the time for so-called material pains and material pleasures to pass away, for both are unreal because impossible in science. To break this earthly spell, mortals must get the true idea and divine principle of all that really exists and governs the universe harmoniously. This thought is apprehended slowly, and the interval before its attainment is attended with doubts and defeats, as well as triumphs. If you believe in and practice wrong knowingly, you can at once change your course and do right. Individuals are consistent who, watching and praying, can run and not be weary, walk and not faint, who gain good rapidly and hold their position, or attain slowly and yield not to discouragement. God requires perfection, but not until the battle between spirit and flesh is fought and the victory won. The great fact that God lovingly governs all, never punishing aught but sin, is your standpoint from which to advance and destroy the human fear of sickness. Mentally and silently plead the case scientifically for truth. You may vary the arguments to meet the peculiar or general symptoms of the case you treat, but be thoroughly persuaded in your own mind concerning the truth which you think or speak, and you will be the victor. When the first symptoms of disease appear, dispute the testimony of the material senses with divine science. Let your higher sense of justice destroy the false process of mortal opinions, which you name law, and then you will not be confined to a sick room or laid upon a bed of suffering in payment of the last farthing, the last penalty demanded by error. Suffer no claim of sin or of sickness to grow upon the thought. Dismiss it with an abiding conviction that it is illegitimate, because you know that God is no more the author of sickness than he is of sin. You have no law of his to support the necessity either of sin or sickness, but you have the divine authority for denying that necessity and healing the sick. Agree to disagree with approaching symptoms of chronic or acute disease, whether it is cancer, consumption, or smallpox. Meet the incipient stages of disease with as powerful mental opposition as a legislator would employ to defeat the passage of an inhuman law. Rise in the conscious strength of the spirit of truth to overcome the plea of mortal mind, alias matter, arrayed against the supremacy of spirit. Blot out the images of mortal thought and its beliefs in sickness and sin. And when thou art delivered to the judgment of truth, Christ, the judge will say, thou art whole. Instead of blind and calm submission to the incipient or advanced stages of disease, rise in rebellion against them. Banish the belief that you can possibly entertain a single intruding pain which cannot be ruled out by the might of mind. And in this way, you can prevent the development of pain in the body. No law of God hinders this result. Your decisions will master you, whichever direction they take. Stand porter at the door of thought, admitting only such conclusions as you wish realized in bodily results. You will control yourself harmoniously. When the condition is present which you say induces disease, whether it be air, exercise, heredity, contagion, or accident, then perform your office as porter and shut out these unhealthy thoughts and fears. Exclude from mortal mind the offending errors, then the body cannot suffer from them. The issues of pain or pleasure must come through mind. And like a watchman forsaking his post, we admit the intruding belief, forgetting that through divine help, we can forbid this entrance. Mind is the master of the corporeal senses and can conquer sickness, sin, and death. Exercise this God-given authority. Take possession of your body and govern its feeling and action. Rise in the strength of spirit to resist all that is unlike good. God has made men capable of this, and nothing can vitiate the ability and power divinely bestowed on man. Be firm in your understanding that the divine mind governs, and that in science, man reflects God's government. Have no fear that matter can ache, swell, and be inflamed as the result of a law of any kind, when it is self-evident that matter can have no pain nor inflammation. You say the time has not yet come in which to recognize soul as substantial and able to control the body? Remember Jesus, who nearly 19 centuries ago demonstrated the power of spirit and said, "He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also." And who also said, "But the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth." Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation, said Paul. The benign thought of Jesus, finding utterance in such words as, "Take no thought for your life," would heal the sick and so enable them to rise above the supposed necessity for physical thought-taking and doctoring. But if the unselfish affections be lacking, and common sense and common humanity are disregarded, what mental quality remains with which to evoke healing from the outstretched arm of righteousness? If the scientist reaches his patient through divine love, the healing work will be accomplished at one visit, and the disease will vanish into its native nothingness, like dew before the morning sunshine. The time for the reappearing of the divine healing is throughout all time. And whosoever layeth his earthly all on the altar of divine science, drinketh of Christ's cup now, and is endued with the spirit and power of Christian healing. This concludes the readings.